So without further ado, let's start the TechSideline.com recruiting report, and eventually we will actually talk about recruiting. But Chris Coleman, and that's the only time I have to confuse people. We'll just go with Chris from now on. Welcome to the show. Thanks for stepping in for that other guy.
Not a problem, Mike. Always glad to be on.
You know, I gave him grief last week about getting that Christmas shopping done, and I'm wondering if he didn't back off for that. And how about you? Are you ready for Christmas?
I'm not ready for Christmas at all. I have not gotten anything done. I think when I head home over the weekend, I'm going to make a stop at the mall in Roanoke and kind of get some last-minute things done. That's the plan right now, but generally not a very good Christmas shopper, last-minute type person, and same thing holds true this year.
Well, the crazy man you work with, he's actually giving you a little bit of time off, right? Now, you answered this last time you were on in my old age. Where is home? Where are you heading?
Oh, I'm heading home back to Pennsylvania County around Danville.
Oh, okay. So it's not that bad a drive.
Yeah.
And you do have some time off.
Oh, yeah. I got some time off. Got the weekend off. So hadn't been home in a while and looking forward to it.
I said last week that my goal was to complete my Christmas shopping without setting foot in a store. And I got jinxed a little bit. I almost made it. But you know what store broke the streak?
What's that?
Was the Tech Bookstore.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Actually, had to go to all three of them on my most recent, you know, the VT Volume 2, the one on Main Street, and the one on campus.
Right.
So I was in three stores looking for some specific items that I eventually found. And, of course, my shop online plan, my wife, you know, bless her heart, has been home sick. She hadn't been able to go to work. So all this stuff I ordered, and I figured I'd come and get off the porch and put away. She's home. She's calling me every 10 minutes. Hey, guess what came today? I said, how do you know what it is? She goes, it says it right on the box. So now I've probably got to go to another store and find something to surprise her with because she knows everything she's getting. I assume she can read what's on the box.
Yeah. You know, at least the Tech bookstores and everything, that's not quite a shopping mall or anything.
Right. I have avoided malls, and I am going to do that, but I may not be able to avoid a jewelry store. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to talk recruiting in a minute, but Will Stewart was on last week, and I know you and he cover the games together and go to a lot of the games together. So I want to get your opinion on a couple things before we talk recruiting. Now, one of the things, I'm not going to ask you everything I asked him, but there are two things in particular, one football and one basketball, Chris, I want to get your thoughts on. The buzz on this game, I just sense, now, the practices I went to earlier this week, I did go to two practices before I came home. And they look good. I sense a little enthusiasm, but just there's no buzz about this game. Louisville, while a quality opponent, doesn't have that name. You know, people much rather play LSU in the Peach. You know, it's another Gator Bowl. I mean, are you sensing the same thing, that the mood is not real yee-haw yet?
Yeah, I am. You know, there's if you look at our message board, there's a lot of conversation, not really about the game at all. I see just as much conversation about Michael Vick going to the Pro Bowl, Shane Graham going to the Pro Bowl, you know, things like that, than you do the Gator Bowl. And, you know, the Gator Bowl, it's a New Year's Day bowl. Now, granted, out of all the New Year's Day bowls, you know, it's got a pretty small payout, and I think it's going to drop down to probably the third spot next year. But, you know, still on the overall sense of things, you know, it's a major bowl. But it's just the fact that, you know, Tech fans have been to Jacksonville so many times. They've been to the Gator Bowl, is this the
third time in the 6 years I've been to Beaver, right? I think it's the fifth trip overall.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, playing a Big East team, that's the thing. Now, when we were in the Big East and we got to play an ACC team, you know, in the Gator Bowl, yeah, there was a lot of hype around that, you know, going and playing Clemson, you know, in the Gator Bowl, you know, that's a popular opponent to play. Now, Tech fans, you know, they don't have a history with Louisville in football. You know, there's a bit of one in basketball from the Metro Conference, but I think Tech and Louisville have only played six times.
And it's been since 1992. Yeah, exactly. It's just not a glamour game, although it could be a dangerous game, and it could be a good game. I mean, this team is a bad call at West Virginia away from being in the BCS. I mean, the Big East admittedly blew that call.
I agree. They're a very talented team. I'm not sure what happened to them at South Florida. I mean, they must not have had their heads in that game, because they're a lot better. You know, you hear a lot about their offense, but their defense is pretty solid, too. I think they're in the top 25 or 30 nationally defenses. So, you know, I mean, they're not one to go out there and just get shoved around the field. You know, they got some good players. Elvis Dumervil is probably the best defensive end of the country. Rod Council, starting at cornerback, was a big-time Tech target a couple of years ago. And, you know, they've got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. And, you know, if the Hokies don't come ready to play, I mean, they will get beat. I mean, that's not a question. That's a fact. You know, Louisville's good enough to knock them off. So I think it's going to come down to whether the Hokies will be ready. And, you know, except for the most part this year, they have been ready. So, and I think Tech will go down and play a good game. Now, whether they'll be able to play mistake-free and win the game, that's another question. But, you know, I don't think they're going to go down there and fold.
Right.
You know, like some people seem to think.
They're not going to go in there with the attitude of yawn, you know, why are we here? You know,
no,
I don't think they're going to look at it as a consolation prize, in other words. I saw two practices, and, you know, they got them together. It's basically a mini preseason because they are off so long for exams. Just to get them used to being around each other and hitting and doing their basic drills, they won't start their actual Louisville preparation until they get to Jacksonville. So it's hard to judge. They were indoors because there was still ice on the practice field, but there was some life. You could tell that they weren't dragging. It wasn't like, you know, dreading what's ahead. They seemed happy to be back together and practicing, and that's a good sign.
It is, yeah. They've got a good group of senior leaders, you know. I mean, after they got beat by Miami, that was a very, very disappointing loss to Miami, obviously, on the national stage like that. And then to come back a couple weeks later and really take it to Virginia like they did, said a lot about their senior leadership, I thought. You guys like Darrell Tapp, Jonathan Lewis, you know, those guys aren't going to let this team, you know, just roll over. You know, Darrell Tapp is, when you look in the dictionary about what Tech football is, you would see Darrell Tapp right there. I mean, he graduated this past week, and I heard he actually had the lunch pail at graduation.
Yeah, took it across the stage with him.
Right, that says a lot about Darrell Tapp right there. You know, so I think these seniors, I think they'll have him ready to play, and I think they should have a, you know, good couple weeks of practice leading up to the game.
Watching the Duke game out of the corner of my eye, Duke basketball is beating St. John's by 10. And Will and I talked last week. I'm a big believer, and there's no such thing as a moral victory. But if there is such a thing, Tech's loss at Duke would be it. And I need to define that. I didn't explain it too well last week. A lot of people think if you just play well and come close against a good team, that's a moral victory. You know, my definition of it, again, if there is such a thing, is you got to take something away from the game, not just come in close. I think Tech walked off the court, obviously very disappointed at the way it happened, but with an attitude, you know what, maybe we are good, because the start of the season hadn't gone swimmingly, it hadn't gone terribly, but there were still some questions, and I think everybody expected that to be a pretty one-sided game, and I think they walked out of that building feeling a lot better than Duke did, and since then they've played pretty darn well, so I think that's as close as you can get to a moral victory.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think they were 22-point underdogs or something like that. So, you know, I mean, nobody expected that to be a good game. And the fact that they went in there and, you know, they just matched up well with Duke. And, you know, everybody was expecting Duke to make a run in that game. And, you know, they did, and they pulled ahead by, I think, 11 late in the game. And that's when Tech really showed a lot of character, down by 11 in the toughest venue in college basketball to play in, to come back and take the lead by 1 point. And then lose on a 40-foot heave from a guy who was a 21% three-point shooter and averaging about 5 or 6 points a game. Now, that's a tough way to lose. But, you know, last year after Tech beat Duke in Blacksburg, I said I was more impressed with the way they came back and beat Miami just two nights later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after you score the biggest win in program history against a team like Duke, and then you have to come back just 2 days later and play Miami, who's obviously known for their football and not basketball, and then to beat them like Tech did said a lot last year. And I think the way Tech has responded this year has said a lot about them, maybe even more so than the Duke game itself. I think it's what they've been able to do after the game that says a lot about the team.
Well, you bring up an interesting point in that they fell behind by 11, and I mentioned, you know, I was in Blacksburg because I had to do a football follow, and somebody else covered the game for us, so I'm watching it on television, and the announcers are saying it correctly. I'm not knocking them. You know, it's a close game, but then Tech is kind of running out of gas, and Duke pulls away, and they're talking about this valiant effort, yada, yada, yada. And I'm sitting there, yeah, they're right. This is probably going to be a 15-point game, which is unfair because Tech played better than that. Next thing you know, they reel off 12 points, and Duke is dead. And as you said, it takes a prayer shot from a guy who can't make an ordinary three-pointer, let alone a half-court heave. That's what impressed me the most, is that when they should have, by all rights, been down for the count, they came back and took the lead.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, generally a team will take on the attitude of their head coach. And, you know, Seth Greenberg, I mean, he's a bulldog out there, you know. I mean, he's always constantly working. When they came back from Las Vegas, you know, some of the team came back to Blacksburg. Some of the team just flew straight home from Las Vegas. Seth just went out on the road and went recruiting. You know, he didn't even come back to Blacksburg. You know, he's constantly working and finding ways to improve the program. And, you know, I think the team exemplifies him when they're on the court diving for loose balls, doing as much as humanly possible to win games, you know, and that's why they're winning right now. You know, I mean, I don't buy what a lot of people say that, you know, Greenberg is doing more with less. You know, that's not true. There's very talented players on the Tech's team, but at the same time, they definitely play above their heads at times, you know, and that's because they work so hard, and the Duke game is a perfect example of that.
Oh, you're right, and that's what a good team is supposed to do. You're supposed to play better than you actually are. What is that old expression, you know, the sum is greater than the whole of the part, whatever. You know what I'm getting at there. It emphasizes exactly what you're saying. Now, I did talk to Seth today, and technically I shouldn't do this because I haven't had it in the paper yet. It's coming out tomorrow, but I'll reward my loyal listeners with just a little glimpse. You guys got to promise me you'll still buy the paper tomorrow and read the ACC notebook Jeff and I did. The thing that would concern me, and I know has Seth concerned, is some more injury problems are cropping up. And with the meat of the schedule coming up, three games against CAA teams, two of them on the road, and then the ACC stuff starts in earnest. Between now and 2 weeks, they've got to make decisions on three players so that they could be redshirting. And that would drastically damage their depth. I mean, everybody knows about Krabbendam. Seth told me today the quote was, he's probably going to redshirt. They just don't feel like if they can get him back without enough time, with time. In other words, if he's not full strength and there's half the season to go, why waste it? He hasn't played at all, but something else he told me that I did not know is that Witherspoon is still struggling with that foot, and if they're going to redshirt him, they have to make a decision soon. You know, you're allowed to play 20% of the team games as long as it's in the first half of the season. He's played five, and Terrace Vincent is having back troubles. He's played six, so he can't play anymore in redshirt. So they could end up redshirting none of them. They could end up redshirting all three of them. And that would leave the bench way thin. You'd have role players, you know, but you wouldn't have that. You know, Sean Harris can come in and give you some good minutes. Jakaiti, Vasayo, you know, poor Alan Callaway's so sick right now, he can't help too much.
No.
Chris Tucker, unlimited. You don't have, you know, a six-man who's essentially a six-starter. That wouldn't be there. And I know that they're real concerned about that. And hopefully it'll work out and all three of them can play, but it could work out that none of them play the rest of the year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I saw somebody post on our basketball board today, actually, and they were at the game. They said, Wenton Witherspoon, they noticed him really limping off after the game. And, he only played 3 minutes during the game, so I guess that explains it. You know, Krabbendam, I don't know if you could consider him a loss right now just for the simple fact that he hasn't played. He would be an addition, you know, if he comes in and plays, but, you know, they've been doing all right without him, but if you get a starter hurt, if Coleman Collins hasn't been able to go an entire season, his career, without some kind of a nagging injury, you know, forcing him to miss a few games, and if that happens this year without a Robert Krabbendam backing him up, then Tech would be really, really thin. And so, yeah, it definitely hurts depth, but, you know, Seth has always been creative, so, you know, I think they would find a way to, you know, still have a good ACC year, but probably not quite as good as they're capable of.
Yeah, he'll make it work somehow, but obviously more depth is good. He said Spoon just is not confident in that foot yet. He's afraid to push off. It's easy to understand. He had, you know, plate put in that thing to repair a broken fifth metatarsal.
Yeah. I mean, expecting somebody to come back that quickly, you know, is asking a lot, especially when they miss a lot of conditioning time. And, you know, basketball is a tough sport. I mean, football, you're out running around on grass, and basketball, you're inside on a running around on a hardwood court. You know, that puts a lot of stress on your legs, you know, and obviously it's affecting Wenton. Not only, you know, his conditioning isn't very good, but I would think, you know, that having this entire week and a half off up leading up to the William and Mary game would help. You know, everybody's going home for Christmas, and I'm sure Seth will get him back. And I assume those decisions will be made. I think the Krabbendam decision will be made. I don't know if they'll try to play him William and Mary or not. But, you know, I think it'll have an effect, Witherspoon more so than the other two, just for the simple fact that Kramadam hadn't played at all. Vincent has just been in mop-up duty. You know, Winton's a good player. I think he can add a lot if he's 100% healthy. But if he's not 100% healthy, then I would just as soon have A.D. Bisaio out there.
There you go. Two things I want to make sure we get in this segment. One good news, one, some may say bad news. I don't necessarily agree. Anyway, Zach Luckett, Chris Horner and I have been talking about him for a couple of weeks. Delayed the decision, announced it a little later, but the New Jersey wide receiver slash athlete coming to Virginia Tech, and when I mentioned it to Coach Rogers, of course, they're not allowed to comment on the record, but he had a big smile on his face. Kevin Rogers feels good about this recruit.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel pretty good about him, including Luckett's high school coach. Said he is the best player to come out of that high school since William Green, former Boston College running back who's now with the Browns, and I think that says a lot. You know, Luckett's a versatile player. He's played running back most of his career in high school, you know, despite, you know, his height. You know, it would look like he'd be more of a receiver even on the high school level, but he has played a lot of tailback, and he's done well there. He's also capable of playing on the defensive side of the ball if things don't work out in wide receiver. So I think this is it's a really good pickup for Tech because, you know, you go into a different area and pick up a guy of this caliber, I think says a lot about Kevin Rogers' recruiting ability. And it also gives you a versatile guy who can play on, you know, either offense or defense. So I think it's a pretty important pickup for the class.
The other news this week, of course, came out of Lansdowne. And I guess I'm going to go on a mini soapbox here, but not to, you know, Percy Harvin and Damon McDaniel, the great receivers for Lansdowne. Harvin is pretty much the consensus number one recruit in the country. They're both going to Florida. They're going to be teammates forever, apparently. Everybody knew Harvin was going down that way. I kind of thought he'd end up at Miami or FSU, so Urban Meyer and his crew did a great job. McDaniel, there was a better chance of him going to Virginia Tech, but I never really thought it was too serious. I'm surprised he didn't go somewhere where he could stand out and make a name for himself. I'm not surprised that they didn't stay in state, and I need to be careful with how I word this because I've never met Chris Beatty, the Lansdowne coach. I know when I talked to him about Devion Simmons this summer, the Tech signee who ended up not graduating at the time, he may have since and may be on his way to junior college. I mean, his whole attitude about it seemed to be that, you know, the players had to realize. I know he's had some qualification problems over the years. You know, I just don't know. Losing a Lansdowne kid wouldn't be the end of the world. I know Jeremy Gilchrist came to Tech and is doing real well, but it took 2 weeks for the clearinghouse to get him straight. So, talent-wise, maybe, but I don't know if this is as big a loss for Tech as some people want to make it out to be. I think they're okay without these two.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. And, you know, if it was at a different position, you know, something like offensive line or defensive tackle or something like that, I would think it would be a big loss. But, you know, Tech's pretty loaded at wide receiver right now, you know. I mean, they've got, you know, basically every wide receiver on the team coming back next year. And the year after that. So, you know, there's not a lot of playing time to be had. Plus, you've already got commitments out of guys like Jacob Sykes, Todd Nolan, Zach Luckett, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not exactly like there's no competition for these guys to come in here against. So, yeah, I don't think it's that big a loss. You know, it would be nice to keep those recruits in state. But, you know, to be honest with you, Tech needs, they need defensive ends, offensive linemen, defensive tackles, and linebackers right now a lot more than they need wide receivers. So, no, I don't think it's a big loss. You know, from the outside looking in, you know, some people might think it would look pretty bad that Tech was not able to keep these guys in state. But from an overall state of the program standpoint, I don't think it makes that big of a difference at all, to be honest with you.
Well, Chris Horner and I were talking last week about John Graves, and I said the great thing for Tech fans about that one is it's like when the football schedule comes out and everybody does it, you either mentally or actually take out your schedule card and go check, check, X, check, check. And when you win one of those games, you don't think you're going to. It's a big smile. And nobody had Graves to Tech real early. I mean, he was supposed to be a Virginia lean. He may not have ever been. You know, that's a big smile on your face, recruit, because A, he's a great player, and B, he's one you never really expected to get. These two guys, I don't think you could. Again, it's like you mentioned with Krabendam. As much as he'd help the basketball team, he hadn't played yet, so you can't miss what you haven't had. And I just don't think there was ever a buzz that they were going in. As you mentioned, they've got some great receivers coming in. There's some big targets. I mean, Graves was the great news, followed by Luckett of the past week. I talked to Jarrell Miller on his visit. I think you get guys like McCoy, Miller, Eliades, guys like that. If they go somewhere else, I think it'd be a little more disappointing. I see Chris did an update. Lou Eliades of New Jersey has named Penn State as his favorite. but South Carolina and Virginia Tech also on the list. To my understanding that LeSean McCoy is very, very impressed with Virginia Tech, and I know the staff feels good about getting him. You know, I think if they bring in a couple of those guys, and you're not going to get everybody. I love reading message boards, not just yours, you know, any school's recruiting message board. You know, the sun is shining when Graves commits. The world looks good. The receivers go somewhere else. Oh, man, we're getting killed in recruiting. As Frank says, it's never as good as it looks. It's never as bad as it looks. This can still be an awfully good recruiting class.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good class already. And, you know, I expect Tech will finish strong. You know, I thought it was funny that a lot of people were all up in arms over losing Whitmore to Maryland. And then the very next day, the Hokies land a defensive end just like Whitmore, except a higher-rated defensive end who wasn't supposed to come to Tech. So, you know, this thing goes around in circles, you know. And, you know, I mean, you talked about Jarrell Miller. It looks like right now, you know, Tech is in a dogfight with UVA for Jarrell Miller. So, you know, Virginia could come and steal one right back from Virginia Tech, a guy who everybody thought would end up in Blacksburg because of his Highland Spring connection, could end up at UVA because, you know, he likes their system. He sees a chance for early playing time. So, you know, it goes in circles. Tech has lost a lot of recruits this year to Penn State. But if they could land LeSean McCoy, five-star tailback out of Pennsylvania, at one point he was rated the number one tailback in the country by Rivals, I believe. And I list him third now, but he missed most of the season with an injury. But, you know, that would be a big-time pickup. It would be just like picking up Kevin Jones out of the state of Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
Obviously, I don't think McCoy's going to qualify. He would have to go to prep school a year, but it would still be a big-time pickup. Jason Ajapong out of New Jersey would also be a great pickup. I've heard he really got along well with John Graves. They're the same type of player, 6'3", 240, 250. High character guys, too, so I think he would be a good pickup. Eliades, yeah, it's looking like Penn State right now, which I think that's a big loss for the Hokies. From where they were looking like they were sitting with him a month ago, and right now they're third on his list, a little bit behind South Carolina, but I think both of those schools trail Penn State big time. And, you know, with the troubles Tech has had on the offensive line, I think that hurts a lot there. But if they can go down to North Carolina and pick up Hutch Eckerson, who everybody thought at one point was going to UVA, then they can kind of even the odds out. So, you know, recruiting's a funny thing. You've got to let it play out.
That's what Frank Beamer always said. I remember at one point a year ago, Tech had like four commitments and Virginia had 18. And Frank said, talk to me in February. And he's right. You know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, add up the points in February, or actually 2 or 3 years from February, and we see how they pan out. But 14 commitments so far. Frank says they're going to get a full class of 25, so there's a lot more to come. Hey, Chris, we're going to let you go. I appreciate you pinch hitting. You did a great job, as I expected. Be careful going home and leave early so you can get that shopping done.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Mike.
We'll see you, man. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll see you down the road.
Bye-bye.